A second chance. 8. As sense, control is the beginning of pious life. Illicit sex is the beginning of sinful life. One should not engage in illicit sex, or sex for any reason except having a child with one's wife. Marriage is meant for begetting children, and in that sense it is a religious institution. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.11, Dharma Viruddho Bhuti Sukhamosmi. I'm sex that does not contradict religious principles. Caitanya Mahaprabhu had a devotee named Sivananda Sena, who was a family man. Sivananda used to come with all the devotees every year to see Lord Caitanya in Puri, and he came together with his wife and children. Once he came to see the Lord, and his wife offered her respects. At that time she was pregnant, so Caitanya Mahaprabhu advised Sivananda, "This time when you get your child, you should give him the name Paramananda Dasa." Caitanya Mahaprabhu knew that pregnancy resulted from sex, but he did not condemn sex in this case, as it was conducted according to scriptural injunction. On the other hand, there is the case of Junior Hiridisa. He was a sannyasi, a renunciant, who was an intimate associate of the Lord. Once he merely desired sex, and did not actually partake of it, and immediately Caitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Paramatma feature, could understand this. The Lord then asked his other associates not to allow Junior Hiridisa to come before him anymore. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramanandaraya, and other intimate associates of Caitanya Mahaprabhu requested, "Junior Hiridisa is your eternal servant. Somehow or other he has committed this offense, but kindly excuse him." Still, Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu was firm in this respect and immediately replied, "If you like Junior Hiridisa so much, better you remain with him, and I will go away." From that moment, nobody ventured again to request Caitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse Junior Hiridisa. When Junior Hiridisa became hopeless in his efforts to be excused by Caitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Prayag and drowned himself in the confluence of the rivers Yamuna and Ganges. Although Lord Caitanya knew about this incident, after some time he inquired of his associates, "Where is Junior Hiridisa now?" They replied, "Sir, you did not accept him, and so he has committed suicide." Lord Caitanya said, "Yes, very good. This is very good." Caitanya Mahaprabhu was sometimes harder than stone and sometimes softer than a flower. That is the behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sivananda was a bona fide grastha, obeying the rules and regulations of householder life, whereas Junior Hiridisa merely desired sex. But because he was in the renounced order of life, he was condemned. A sannyasi gives up his family and takes a vow to abstain from sex, but if he again takes to sex, he commits a very great sin. So, a Jamila was victimized by illicit sex with a prostitute. There are many instances throughout the world in which even a purified person falls victim to attraction by a prostitute and spends all his money on her. Prostitute hunting is so abominable that sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Therefore, illicit sex is strictly prohibited. One should be satisfied with his married wife, for even a slight deviation will create havoc. A Krishna-conscious grastha should always remember this. He should always be satisfied with one wife, and be peaceful simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, at any moment he may fall down from his good position, as exemplified by the case of Ajamila. Considering the abominable character of Ajamila, the Yamadutas were perplexed as to why the Visnudutas had forbidden them to take such a man to Yamaraja for punishment. Since Ajamila had not undergone atonement for his sinful acts, the Yamadutas thought he should be taken to Yamaraja to be purified. Punishment by Yamaraja is a process of purification for the most abominable sinful persons. Therefore, the Yamadutas requested the Visnudutas not to obstruct their taking Ajamila to Yamaraja. Chapter 14. Betrayed by leaders. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, the servants of Lord Visnu are always very expert in logic and argument." After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, the Visnudutas replied as follows: "Alas, how painful it is that a religion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. A king or government official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer, and protector of the citizens, because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures, and should be equal to everyone. Yamaraja does this, for he is the supreme master of justice, and so do those who follow in his footsteps. However, if such persons become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? The mass of people follow the example of a leader and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted, and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship?" Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.1-6. Logic and Reason. The Visnudutas, like all genuine servants of God, understood everything according to logic and reason. The instructions of Krishna are not meaningless dogma. Religion often gives rise to dogmatism, but the author of Sri Caitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadasaka Viraja, urges us to try to understand Lord Caitanya and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness according to logic. In other words, do not follow blindly on the basis of sentiment alone. One who fails to apply logic can easily be misled by unscrupulous persons. For example, some so-called missionaries advertise that man can become God, and they attract millions of sentimental followers. But how is it possible? Where is there evidence of any man becoming God? This false propaganda is not at all logical. One should use his intelligence to understand Krishna consciousness. However, once we have accepted the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and taken initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, we cannot argue with him. We cannot challenge. To do so would constitute an offense and a fall from spiritual principles. The duty of governments. The Visnudutas accuse the Yamadutas of violating religious principles by attempting to drag a Jamilita Yamaraja for punishment. Yamaraja is the officer appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to judge religious and irreligious principles and to punish the sinful. However, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraja is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraja, but throughout human society. Upholding religious principles is the duty of the king or government. Unfortunately, in the present age, Kali Yuga, people have lost their intelligence, so they cannot differentiate between Dharma and Adharma, religion and irreligion. The courts do not know whom to punish and whom not. For example, out of compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaisnavas go out to preach the principles of Krishna consciousness, but unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, even though these Vaisnavas have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord, they are sometimes harassed and punished by courts on false charges of disturbing the peace. This age, Kali Yuga, is very bad. We can only take shelter of Krishna and always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Visnudutas chastise the Yamadutas for violating the principles of justice. Such corruption of the judicial system is very prominent in Kali Yuga. The judicial system is meant to provide for execution of justice, yet false witnesses and bribery make it difficult. With money, almost anyone can get a favorable judgment in court. If the justice system is corrupt, life becomes extremely troublesome. The government is supposed to offer the citizens protection, as parents do for their children. A small child is completely dependent on his father and mother, thinking with full faith, "My father is here, my mother is here, I'm safe." But if the father and mother are corrupt, where is the protection for the child? Similarly, if the whole government is corrupt, where is the protection for the citizens? Whatever the heads of society do, people generally follow. The government or king is like a father to the citizens. A father will never tolerate the killing or injuring of his children. He will give up his own life trying to attack the person threatening his children. Yet today crime is rampant. The government spends billions of dollars, but the citizens have no security in their lives. The government is answerable to the citizens, because it must protect and provide for them. If the government is incapable or corrupt, then what is the position of the citizens? The king, or in modern times the government, should act as the guardian of the citizens, by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for attaining self-realization, realization of one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The duty of the government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that they will gradually be elevated to the spiritual platform and realize their relationship with God. This principle was followed by kings like Maharaja Yudhisthira, Maharaja Parikshit, Lord Ramakandra, Maharaja Ambarasa, and Prahlada Maharaja. Unfortunately, today's government leaders are generally dishonest and irreligious, and thus all the affairs of the state suffer. In the name of democracy, rogues and thieves fool the innocent populace into electing them to the most important posts in the government. Recently, this has been proven in America, and as a result the citizens condemned the president and dragged him down from his post. This is only one case out of many. In Kali Yuga, people have no shelter. Due to corrupt government, they are uncertain of their lives and property. The mass of people should always feel secure because of the government's protection. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. We saw during the partition days in India that, although Hindus and Muslims had been living together peacefully, manipulation by politicians suddenly aroused feelings of hatred between them, and thus the Hindus and Muslims killed one another over politics. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. Another symptom of Kali Yuga is the abominable practice of animal slaughter. In this age, animals are kept nicely sheltered, completely confident that their masters will protect them, but unfortunately, as soon as the animals are fat, they are immediately sent for slaughter. Such cruelty is condemned by Vaishnavas like the Vishnudutas. Indeed, hellish conditions of extreme suffering await the sinful men responsible for such cruelty. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly contaminated. The people of this age are therefore described as Mandasu Mandamateo Mandabajayahi Abhadruta. As a consequence of such sinfulness, men are condemned. Manda, their intelligence is unclear. Sumandamateya, they are unfortunate. Mandabajaya, and therefore they are always disturbed by many problems. Upa Druta. This is their situation in this life, and after death they are punished in hellish conditions. Although Ajamila was not punishable, the Yamadutas were insisting on taking him away to Yamaraja for punishment. This was a dharma, contrary to religious principles. The Vishnudutas feared that, if such irreligious acts were allowed, the management of human society would be spoiled. In modern times, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to introduce the right principles of management for human society, but unfortunately the governments of Kali Yuga do not properly support the Hare Krishna movement, because they do not appreciate its valuable service. The Hare Krishna movement is the right movement for ameliorating the fallen condition of human society, and therefore governments and public leaders in every part of the world should support this movement, to completely rectify humanity's sinful condition. Chapter 15. Atonement. The Vishnu Dutas continued, Ajamila has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives, for in a helpless condition he chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Even previously, while eating and at other times, Ajamila would call his son, saying, "My dear Narayana, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for one who steals gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for a man who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for a man who murders his father, the king, or women, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who then considers, because this man has chanted my name, my duty is to give him protection. Srimad Bhagavatam 6. February 7, 10. Absolute absolution. The Vishnu Dutas charged that the Yamadutas did not know whom to arrest and whom not to arrest. The Yamadutas regularly arrest sinful persons, but in this case the Yamadutas came to arrest Ajamila, who had been released from all sinful reactions simply by chanting Narayana. The Vishnu Dutas criticized the Yamadutas, saying, "You do not know whom to punish, and whom not to punish." Even though Ajamila committed so many sinful activities, he is now freed from the reactions to his sins. He has completely counteracted all those sins by chanting the holy name of Narayana. Why are you now attempting to arrest this person, as if he were a criminal? Although he had no intention of chanting the holy name, still he has chanted it, and therefore he is now free of sin. The Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamila. Since he was extremely sinful during his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraja. They did not know that he had become free from the reactions of all his sins. The Vishnu Dutas thus instructed them that, because he had chanted the name Narayana at the time of his death, and also throughout his life, he was freed from all sinful reactions. In this regard, Srilavasvanatha Chakravarti Thakura quotes the following verses from the scriptures. Namno Hyavarti Sakta, Papanurharain Harad, Tavatkardam Nasaknodi, Padakam Padaki Nara. Simply by chanting one holy name of Hari, a sinful man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he can commit. Brad Visnu Purana, Avicenna Pyan Namni, Kirtite Sarvapadake, Puman Vimusayate Sadaya, Simhatrastram Rigar Iva. If one chants the holy name, even in a helpless condition, or without desiring to do so, all of one's sinful reactions immediately depart. Just as a lion's roar causes the small animals in the forest to flee in fear, Garuda Purana, Sakrata Karatamina, Harir Iti Aksaradvayam, Badhiparikaristina, Moksaya Gamranam Prati. A person who once chants the holy name of the Lord, consisting of the two syllables Hari, guarantees his path to liberation. Scan the Purana. These are some verses explaining why the Visnudutas stopped the Yamadutas from taking a Jamilata Yamaraja. There are different kinds of sins, one of which is stealing. Thieves and burglars are very sinful. Another sinful activity is drunkenness. Those who are addicted to intoxication and stealing are condemned by the Visnudutas. Other examples of sins are being unfaithful to one's friends, killing a Brahmana or Vaisnava, dishonoring one's spiritual master or teacher, killing a woman, killing a king, and killing the cow. These are among the worst sins. But the Visnudutas say that, even though a person has committed many such sins, if he utters the holy name of Narayana even once, he at once becomes free from sinful reactions. Sridharasvami says, chanting the holy name of Narayana, Lord Hari, not only counteracted all of Ajamila's sinful reactions, but it made him eligible to become liberated, and therefore at the time of death he was transferred to the spiritual world. Chanting the holy name of Krishna counteracts all sins, more than one can possibly commit. Because Ajamila had chanted the holy name without offense, and because he chanted sincerely, he completely freed himself from all sinful reactions. This is why we are stressing the chanting of Hare Krishna so much. Pious activities, austerity, sacrifice, everything is done simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. There is no need of any other process of yoga, atonement, or austerity and penance. Simply by chanting without offense one achieves the results of all other ritualistic performances prescribed in the Vedas. Previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamila chanted the name of Narayana, but he did so without offense. To chant the holy name of the Lord, just to counteract one's sinful activities, or to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name, is offensive. Namna balad yasaya hai papa buddhin. But although Ajamila engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayana to counteract them. He simply chanted the name Narayana to call his son. Therefore his chanting was effective. Because he chanted the holy name in this way, He had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. The conclusion is that one who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offense is always pure. As confirmed in these verses, Ajamila was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayana, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son, the name itself was effective. Foolish persons say that one can chant any name, even a demigod's name, and get the same result as chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is Mayavada philosophy. The Mayavadas think that everyone is God. They say, the demigods are God, I'm God, you are God. Therefore they say one can chant any name and become liberated. In Bengal it is very popular to hold a Kali Kirtana. A party of people meet and chant, Kali. Kali. Kali, or the names of so many so-called avatars. One rascal added his wife's name to the chanting, and his foolish followers accepted it. In this way Mayavadi philosophers are leading their followers straight to hell. Caitanya Mahaprabhu, who has therefore strongly warned against hearing from the Mayavadi philosophers, lest one's spiritual life be spoiled, and the path of devotional service blocked. We should always remember this when there is any question of chanting other names. We should chant the holy name of Vishnu, the holy name of Krishna, no one else's name.